Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week, in our study of the steps to take when going through sin's consequences, we were talking about the anger and fury that God has for those that are told what to do and ignore it and do what they want. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And God had told them that he was going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to do this because of their sin. But then he says, if this people will stay and begin to till the land, then he'll be with them and he'll bless them. But if they take off, just like he said what Nebuchadnezzar would do to Jerusalem, he's all saying Nebuchadnezzar will go down into Egypt and do the same thing to you. Now think about that. What is the anger and the fury like of the one who created the heavens and the earth? Wow, that must be something. He created all life, flesh, and even spirit. And so he reminds them, he poured it out on Jerusalem. The temple and the wall are destroyed. They can plainly see that. It's burnt. It's in ruins. And most of the people were killed. They saw it. Or they're enslaved. And so he's letting them know that when you enter Egypt, you're going to become an excretion. You know, that word means a curse. The idea here is that since you break God's directive, especially after being told what we're telling you right now, he says, you're going to be cursed. How? Well, what we read in the previous verse, in verse 17, it will affect their descendants. Because there he said that they were going to die by the sword and by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them would remain or escape the evil that God would bring upon them. And so he talks about the various things that's going to hit these people. It's rough. He says they'll not only be an execration, but they'll be an astonishment. Now, I got the idea of what that means when I visited a man in the hospital. And it's been many years ago. It's back in the early 1970s. But this guy had been beaten up by professional thugs. I mean, this was a paid job where they paid out about $1,000, a couple thousand dollars to have him professionally beaten up. Now, I knew the man. The man was a good-looking man. I went up to another city where they had him hospitalized. I was going to go up to visit him. I was told the room he was in. I walked up to the room and thought I got in the wrong room. His head was swollen about the size of a watermelon. All I could see where his eyes were supposed to be were two black circles. And they were right in the middle of that watermelon. I mean, his head was so swollen. And then all I could see where his nose was two holes. I couldn't see an outline at all of his nose. And had he not spoken up, called my name, I wouldn't have known that was him. I actually thought it was someone else. And I'm glad he spoke up. But, oh, what an astonishment that was to me. And that's what these people will become when they see what God does to them. They'll be like that man. And then he says there'd be a curse. By that he means they'd be viewed as vile. Perhaps even something less than humanity. They'll have a loss of the dignity that God would have given them had they only remained in Jerusalem. But not only are they an execration, an astonishment, and a curse, but they're also a reproach. Now, a reproach speaks of a source of scorn. No one will take them seriously. No one will consider their matters important. They're scorned. And then on top of all of that, we find out they'll see the place no more. They'll never see their homeland again. They'll never see the place God had prepared. They'll never see what God was going to do. So, verse 19, he says to them, "The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day." Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? God says, "You asked, and I've told you." But let me ask you that are listening today, are you sure that if you died today, that heaven is your home? Now, if not, God has some negative promises for you, just like these children of Israel were given negative promises and they were fulfilled. And if you die without Jesus Christ, then these negative promises will be true of you. Revelation 14, verse 10 and 11. There we read, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture." In other words, God's wrath will not be watered down into the cup of his indignation. "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone." By the way, that is a literal essence. And hell, this place is a literal place of fire and brimstone. "In the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb," who is Jesus, "and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." They will never have any hope once they've died and gone to hell. No hope of ever getting out. And they have no rest day nor night. In Mark 9, 48 and 49, it says, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." What's he saying there? The worm dieth not. You don't cease to exist in hell. You're the living dead, you might say, because you can't really call life what you're going through. The fire's not quenched. Even in a billion years, the fire's still burning. And when he said that the sacrifice would be salted with salt, he was talking about the pain. Being like salt being poured on a freshly opened wound. And if you want to get an idea of what hell's like, just cut yourself and pour some salt on it and find out. Matthew 13, 42 says, "And shall cast him into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That speaks of torture and pain. Now, maybe I better go back and with the way people like to sue today, I'll tell you, don't go out and cut yourself and pour salt on it. Just try to imagine it in your mind, if you will. But it says here, "They shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And there's no end to that. No end. Matthew 22:13, "Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him to outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Bound in this lake of fire. Outer darkness, you wouldn't even be able to see in front of your face if you put your hand there and held it there for 10 minutes. See, the account in Luke 16 shows us the man in hell. He has no hope, no food, but the desire for food and drink and hope. And he said that he is tormented in this flame. In other words, forever and ever, the person who dies without Christ is an execration, a curse, an astonishment, and a reproach, and they'll never see the place God had prepared for those that love him. And the tragedy is, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If they had repented and believed the gospel, Christ would save them. The if means you've got to do your part of believing and repentance. Now, my friend, let me just say right off the bat here, there is absolutely no pleasure in being right about the imminent catastrophe awaiting people in eternity without Christ. Especially since these are people we love. And God loves you. And you die without Him, you'll go to hell over the broken heart of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, you'll be in hell. Now, in this 42nd chapter of Jeremiah, God has given the remnant that is left a promise of good if they'll just simply obey Him. And a promise of evil if they disobey Him. And Jerusalem is burned. It's desolate. The man who was left in charge by the king of Babylon has been assassinated. So, here they are faced with the choice of the fear of the Lord or the fear of the king of Babylon. And so they'd come to Jeremiah to ask him to pray for them, and they find out God's will. But what they said is that whatever God's will is, we'll do it. That turns out to be a lie. At first, they were headed to Egypt, and someone decided, well, we need to inquire of God first. You know, we need to say a prayer about this. And they're just praying to ask God to bless what they were going to do, not praying to say, God, what do you want me to do? It was their will. Now, notice verse 20 there. He says, for you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we'll do it. Well, that's a lie. Especially when you think of some of the things he said back here in verses 2 through 6. There he says, they said, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, for all this remnant, for we are left, but few of the many as thine eyes behold us. And he asked him to pray that the Lord would show us wherein we ought to walk, the thing that we ought to do. He said, the Lord is a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or evil, we'll obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it might be well with us.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no grace. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.